Okay, hi. I am Dr. Jacob Larson, and this is In the Classroom. It's a podcast where we talk about issues in education. So this week, I was able to present at the ACT Summit. It's like a state conference that's run by ACT. Back during the summer, I got an email saying, hey, we need people to talk. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So I put in, I wanted to kind of present some of the information I learned during my dissertation study. And they had a couple different options. They had something called an Ed Talk. It's supposed to be like a TED Talk, right? Anyway, I put in for that and they said yes. So yesterday, December 4th, I was able to go do that. And it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit nerve-wracking. I was really stressed out. I'd spent the day before traveling down to Phoenix and stressing over it. I was practicing in my hotel room. In fact, I recorded it, but I wasn't real happy with it. So I decided not to post it. But I, the talk went pretty well. I wasn't able to show my presentation with the charts and different stuff I'd put together. But I think it turned out okay, because then I just had like 15, 20 minutes to just talk to people. And it was in a fairly small room, probably only fit 20 people, and there was, maybe a couple less than that. But people seem engaged, they seem interested in what I had to say, and it was a good experience. So what I thought I would do in this episode today is talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going through my head lately about always learning. Some of the things that I've learned this past week as we've worked with a consultant here at our school and as I went to this conference. So let's get started. Early on in my teaching career, I was really surprised at how reticent some teachers are to try new things. It was easy for me at the time because I was a new teacher and everything was new. So trying something new was just trying something. And I'd look around and we'd have consultants come in and make suggestions and people would grumble and they'd be like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't like this. They don't know us. They don't, and do what teachers do, which is they were very naturally defensive, right? They had a good reason to be defensive because by someone coming in and suggesting they do something different, they were being challenged as if what they had been doing before wasn't good enough. And so it makes sense that people would be nervous to add that new thing, that new practice, that new strategy, or maybe to get rid of something to try something new. Well, now that I've got a little bit of experience under my belt, I understand where they're coming from. I had an experience this week where we had a consultant come in and I spent several hours meeting with this person. And, we got a little bit heated at times as I shared my feelings about what this person was suggesting. But they had good things to say. It was just hard to hear because the takeaway was that what I was doing wasn't good enough. That what I was doing was not effective. That it was, if I took it extreme way, which, I felt like doing, that I was wasting my time, that students weren't getting very much. And I could still look at the data and I pulled it up and I said, see this, they've increased their reading levels this much and this and this and this. And the person is just like, no. And they were, maybe more blunt or frank than they needed to be. And I expressed that. But it felt like this program I'd been doing for years, I was being told I had to get rid of it because it was a waste of time. And that's hard to hear. Why am I talking about this? Because as teachers, we can never stop being students. We have to be students in our own classrooms, paying attention not just to how our students are learning and whether they're learning or not, but paying attention to our craft, our practice, and thinking, man, is what I'm doing all that I can do? Is there more that I can do? Is it enough? And as we're serious and we're introspective about our craft, we may realize that the answer to some of these questions is no. I'm not doing everything I can. I could do more. I'm not as effective as I need to be to help my kids. Now, just because someone comes up with an idea doesn't mean it's going to work. Just because there's some new study or new practice or new suggestion also doesn't mean that you have to quit everything you're doing and do that. But we also don't need to keep doing what's been done for hundreds of years if there's a better way. And that's the hard thing. I talked a little bit about assessment in my last episode. The concept with assessment and really pushing micro-assessments, if you will. I'm sure there's a better term than that. But really close, quick, formative style of assessment helps you to get data that you can use proactively while there's still time. You know, did you teach something? And by the end of that class, did you know whether they learned it or not? And if not, why not? Why don't you work that into your practice? Why don't you develop a way so that you can assess these things that you're teaching? And if Sorry, someone is going down the hallway with a trash can. Okay, if what you're doing with a little bit of effort, you can get some good information back. So the next day you go back to class, you know what you need to address before you get to the end of a unit and students are being tested on something they don't know. But you could have figured it out by building assessment into your teaching and not just being something you stick at the end. Now, this is effort. This can take a lot of time to develop, but you can see how it's worth it, right? Anyway, that's kind of what I was getting in the last episode. And that's something that I need to do. But the other thing that was hard to hear was, well, at least my takeaway, I've always essentially been a college teacher in a high school classroom. And I want to explain what I mean by that. I've been teaching for where they're going to be instead of where they're at. And my expectations for this age may have been off a bit. As I understand my students better, I need to adapt. And that's what our consultant was suggesting, that maybe some of the things I was asking them to do, they're not ready for that yet. And they need a little more support and scaffolding. We were talking about reading instruction and just how much they could handle. And the suggestion was, I really provide much more scaffolding, break it down much more. And it was a hard pill to swallow because it in fact means that everything I've been doing was just, you know, a lot of wasted effort for years. This is what was suggested. Now I need to figure out how can I do it my way, right? I need to be humble. I'm going to get back to that in a second, but I want to talk about some of the other things I learned at this conference that I went to and bring it all together, if you will. At this conference, I was able to hear from some leaders. Arizona just elected a new superintendent of public instruction. It's kind of like the superintendent for the state, Department of Ed. We got to hear from her. We got to hear from a state senator who's also a part-time English teacher. It was really interesting to hear him explain that process and some of the things he's done in education to affect legislation for education in Arizona. I also got to to see some presentations on the future and where education and technology are going. But there was one really good session that I attended where they were talking about how to make your content more relevant to your students. And those are the kinds of things I really like to latch onto. I really like creative solutions to problems. And one of the hard things I was hearing with the consultant wasn't a creative solution. It was a very traditional solution to a very traditional problem. And maybe it wasn't exciting. Maybe it wasn't as creative as, you know, wouldn't have necessarily gotten my attention as much as coming in and saying, hey, why don't we try this thing and flip everything upside down? But it wasn't a bad suggestion. Let me explain a little bit. This was from, I wrote her name down. Name of the session was called How to Make Your Content Relevant to All Students, Tara Dale. She teaches in Gilbert. And she and her writing partner, I don't remember her name, they'd come up with this idea of really focusing on three skills with every single lesson. You were either teaching students, and she's a science teacher, but her partner's language arts teacher, special ed. The idea was, with every single lesson, you're going to be teaching skills that are generalizable beyond that subject area. You're teaching I had it in my head and I backed up. I'm just going to pull up my notes. Sorry about that. Okay. Let's see. Here's my list. They called them skills for intentional scholars. The first skill, critical thinking. The second skill, creatively problem solving. And the third skill, effectively communicating. So critical thinking, creative problem solving, effective communication. When they changed how they were teaching, it was a move away from rote memorization. The example they gave was moon phases. And so what they did is they taught it to this group of teachers and counselors and administrators the way that they used to teach it. So they'd put a picture of the different moon phases with labels up on the board and basically said, all right, you need to memorize this. And then they gave us some time to take the test. And what people realized is during the test, they had made a change, that the moon phases were flipped and out of order from how they were shown originally on the board. So if people were just trying to memorize the image and the names, they were thrown off because the order was backwards in how it rotated and in the graphic. And so they backed up and they taught how they taught the concept. What does waxing mean? And so I said the way they teach definitions is not to give the students the definitions. What they did was they would teach the words being used in a sentence and then ask students to figure out what the word means, but they would give several examples. They said they use a website called wordsinasentence.com. You could put a word in, it's going to give you a bunch of sentences. And they had an example of four on the board for the word, I think waning was the example they used. So you have that. And she said what she doesn't do, whether you like this or not, what she doesn't do is tell students that they're right or wrong with their definition. Because what she's trying to do is teach critical thinking, problem solving, communication. You start to see the connection there. She's challenging them to think and to understand instead of just, you know, giving in to what students really expect in a classroom, which is, I want the correct answer so I can learn it, so I can repeat it back to you. And this is a transition really far away from that. And with that, they changed how they assessed as well, not just in what they taught or how they taught, but in how they assessed. And so what they did was they gave some examples for what a test might look like. And they're questions that ask students to apply the definitions in context. And so, okay, so here's a quote. When author Stephanie Meyer was asked, and it gives a quote, and she basically explains where the title for her book, New Moon, which is part of the Twilight series, came from. And it explains that it's dark, right? It represents this dark moment of the student's life. And then it follows up with this question, explain why this is, this is the darkest kind of night. Where is the light? And so students, to answer that question, well, new moon means you don't see the moon at all because the light from the moon is on the opposite side from what we see on Earth, right? But students would have to understand that and be able to explain that in the context of a quote that an author gave. So it's much deeper on Bloom's taxonomy for the depth of the thinking of the knowledge. Does that make sense? And so she said it took her a really long time, years, to really update all of her lessons, plans, and curriculum to reflect this concept. But she had really good results. She said that even though the focus wasn't a very traditional multiple choice system, it's short answer, what this Tara Dale did. But she said that students did really well on the district assessments, even though it was a different kind of test, because they had learned the critical thinking and their depth of knowledge was much more pronounced than more traditional methods. And so I'm thinking, okay, how can I take what, for me personally, how can I take what I'm being taught by our consultant and these other good ideas from this conference and put it together? How can I share them with you? How can I use it to improve my practice? And even though I'm in my ninth year of teaching, I still have a lot of room for growth. I still need to be humble, especially because I've got a long time before I'm done teaching. I haven't learned everything, and neither have my students. So if I can think of better ways to engage them in deep learning, if I can provide better support throughout this whole practice, those are the things I really need to be thinking about and preparing for. I need to be humble. And so that's kind of my advice and suggestion to you is, when a good idea comes along, it's worth changing for, right? Even if it's hard and it's difficult and you're getting further along in your experience, if it's a good idea, it's worth changing for. We need to be humble. You know, and then for recertifying, you know, the rules in your state may be different than in mine. In Arizona, we need so many professional development hours every like 6 years, depending on the certification that you have. And it's an important concept because we can't stagnate, right? And doctors are asked to do this too. They need to go back in, they get more training, they have to stay up on medicines and practices. For us to be on our best game, we need to continue to be students in our own classrooms, learning what works, what doesn't, and being willing to change. Because that's exactly what we would ask our students to do. And even though it's hard, it is a bit hypocritical to not be willing to do it ourselves. It requires humility. Humility that's hard for someone like me, but I'm trying. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. Because I know I need work. And if you're like me, we could all do better. So a couple thoughts that I've been thinking about this week. I appreciate your time in listening to this podcast. There's a couple things I want to let you know that you can check out. You can always go to my website, drlauritzen.com, drlauritzen.com. I added a new section called research. So it's drlauritzen.com/research, where I've posted my dissertation. On that, you can download the entire dissertation, read the whole thing. You can also see the video of my I recorded myself defending my dissertation, so you can see that explanation of it as well. So that's something you might be interested in checking out. The topic is using a computer-based reading program to provide culturally responsive instruction for Native American students. And that's what I gave my presentation on this week. But that's the full version. It's not the short version. Anyway, that's something you can check out. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. It really helps me to justify the time that I'm doing here, and it helps get the message out, because I really want to make a difference. I want to help, even if it means me having to acknowledge the things that I don't do well enough. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, Dr. Jacob Lauritsen, or on my English channel, Read Write and Cite. We've got a lot going on a lot of different places, and I'd love your feedback on all of it. So thank you again for listening, for watching if you're on the YouTube channel, and I will see you or talk to you in the next episode. Thank you.